The Los Angeles Kings decide to stay in-house with their new hire for the Ontario Reign head coaching job. It is none other than Marco Sturm. He joins the Reign. We're going to talk about him and that coaching move today. Plus, we're going to take a look at the draft and some players the Kings might be interested in picking up. All that and more on today's episode of Locked On Los Angeles Kings.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Kings. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, Kings fans, happy Friday evening. You're listening to Locked On Los Angeles Kings, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. My name is Sarah, your host of the show. And as always, pleased to be here with you talking about your favorite hockey team and mine, Los Angeles Kings. On today's show, we're going to look at the new coaching hire for the Ontario Reign. We're going to look at that decision, why they made it, what's going on over there. Plus, on yesterday's show, we talked with Jay Foster from Locked On Blue Jackets to get his take on the draft, as he's been doing a ton of prospect research and figured I would just lean on a call friend and see what we've got to see about the Kings and their possible draft choices. On yesterday's show, we just sort of looked at the draft in general, talked about why the draft is maybe a little bit weirder this year, a little more uncertain this year than in the past. And today we're going to get into some individual prospects. We're going to start with Brad Lambert, who is Finnish, by the way, and is a prospect who could go basically anywhere in the draft at this point in time. So we'll talk about that later on today. But first, the Ontario Reign have been without a head coach since John Wroblewski stepped down. He had gone on a personal leave of absence, and then it was decided that he would not return to the team. He's now actually head coach of the U.S. Women's National Team, which is exciting, I think. I think that he's a great coach. We will never know the circumstances behind his leave slash departure from the Reign, but you know, wish him the best and hope that he is maybe the spark the U.S. women's team needs to, you know, actually play to their full capabilities, because they certainly have not always done that lately with their mediocre coaching. Anyway, that's the subject of a whole different podcast. But right now, obviously, the Kings, the Reign, had a opening for head coach in Ontario. And Chris Hite had been sort of filling in for those duties while Wroblewski was out slash formally left the team. The Reign and Kings announced today that Chris Hite, Craig Johnson, Brad Schuler, and Matt Miller, all of their associate coaches — Miller's the goalie coach, video coach — all of those guys are going to be coming back in their positions. But the new head coach of the Ontario Reign, Marco Sturm, I think we know him from his role as the assistant coach with the Kings. Now, I think this move has been kind of bandied about for a little while. I know that John Hovind had the news earlier that this was going to happen this year, but I feel like it's been something that's been kind of talked about for a while. Whenever the organization first announced that Mike Stothers was not going to be returning to the Reign, that they weren't going to renew his contract, I know there had been kind of rumblings at that point in time of like, hey, maybe we move Marco Sturm down there, let him head coach the Reign, let him get kind of back into the groove of being a bench boss that way, and then see what happens with him. Because there's always been sort of this like undercurrent of, you know, could Sturm be a guy who's being groomed for a role in the future as an NHL head coach? The Kings basically snapped him up after that great Olympic showing that he had coaching Team Germany. He's been really good at the international level of coaching a team to be greater than the sum of its parts, which is really, you know, what the Kings and the organization needs. And I think that the Kings kind of snapped him up because they knew that if they didn't, someone else was going to, and they wanted to get him in the organization. And so there's always been kind of rumors or talk about, you know, would Sturm be better off in the AHL, kind of working his way back up to the NHL? And clearly the Kings have finally decided that answer is yes. This is a great move. I think that, I was just on another podcast talking about this. I was on the Calder Farmstead podcast talking with those guys about it because they're an AHL podcast. And, you know, the idea kind of was, listen, you don't always love it when coaching hires are done entirely internally. You didn't hear anything about a, you know, there was no transparency to this hiring process. Not that there really ever is in the AHL. That's, you know, that's expecting maybe a little bit too much from that level. But, you know, it's a move that could have the potential to go bad whenever you're bringing someone in from in-house, just shuffling the deck chairs kind of. But I think that this one, I like this move. I think that it gives Sturm a chance to get back into a role that we know he has had success with the German national team. It lets him be in a position to work with the Kings' young players and prospects, which is a role that, you know, he also had done, you know, working with the German team. And we know he can be successful at a head coaching level. And it also gives the benefit of putting a new head coach in Ontario who already knows the Kings systems, who already knows what Todd McClellan is going to expect out of his players. Not to say that, you know, Wroblewski or Chris Hite or any of those guys didn't have that, but bringing a guy who literally has spent the past, what, 3-4 years on the bench with the Kings now down to the Reign, I think will, you know, I think it's going to be really beneficial to those young players. The other flip side of that benefit, the Kings get to hire a new assistant coach, potentially one who's going to run the power play, potentially one who's going to run it better. I know Marco Sturm even kind of took a little bit of a jab at that idea in his press conference from being announced today as the new Reign coach, kind of took a jab at people's criticism of him running the power play. But listen, the power play was bad. I don't know what else to tell you. It was bad. The personnel that we have on the power play, it shouldn't have been that bad. I don't know what the disconnect is. If they bring in a new coach and it's still bad, I don't know. That's the subject of a whole other podcast. But no word yet on what the Kings are going to do with that vacancy. They might be waiting to see where people land in terms of the coaching carousel right now. Maybe make an out-of-the-box hire, maybe look to Europe, who knows? But so obviously no news yet on what they're going to do with that position. But Marco Sturm goes to the AHL, goes just, you know, an hour plus down the road to Ontario to lead the Reign and provide a little bit of stability down there. And now we obviously know that they have a coach. We don't have to play this kind of game of, is John Wroblewski coming back? What's happening? We have a coach. So exciting news. He'll get to, you know, start the season fresh with the Reign this coming season and hopefully, you know, lead them a little further in the playoffs than they got this year. And hopefully with like a full roster instead of losing all their guys to the Kings. Coming up next, we're going to take a look at the draft because that is coming up very rapidly. And we're going to look at some players who could possibly be available for the Kings to draft in the first round. But before we do that, let's talk about Built Bars. Their newest flavor is called the Mud Pie. Now, I know like mud pie maybe doesn't give you the greatest like connotations. It makes you think of, well, mud. It tastes delicious. They have the Mud Pie Built Bar and the Mud Pie Built Puff. One is marshmallowier, one is barer. And it basically tastes like chocolate and fluffy whipped cream chocolate mousse stuff. So cookies and cream crumble. It kind of tastes like a like brownie almost. What it is delicious. I had one earlier today. I was very excited about it. And I think this is definitely a great new addition to the Built Bar flavor family. One of my favorite things about Built Bars is that they're always coming up with new flavors for you. And so if you can dream it, they will create it. Built Bars are not just delicious, they are also good for you. They're only 150 calories, low sugar, high fiber, high protein, low in fat and carbs and all the things that you probably don't want to have. So go to built.com and check it out. See all the great flavors available, including the brand new Mud Pie. You can use promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your order. That is promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. Now we're going to turn to take a look at the draft. On yesterday's show, we had Jay Foster from Locked On Blue Jackets. He's been doing a ton of draft research, and so I figured I would just, you know, lean on his draft research to see what could possibly be out there for the Kings at the number 19 spot. So if you missed yesterday's show, go back and check it out. We sort of looked at the draft in general. Today, we're going to get into some specific players, starting with Brad Lambert. So I figured we can look at some individual players that I know that you've done some looking into. We've already talked a little bit about Brad Lambert, and I feel like we can probably just take a look at him to start. First off, if anyone hasn't been following prospects and doesn't really know, Brad Lambert is Finnish. His name is Brad. His dad is obviously Canadian.
I feel like it's one of those, his dad was playing in Finland at the time. And so, you know, in the same way that son of Columbus, Cole Sillinger, is actually a Canadian citizen, you know, it's one of those very, very strange deals. He has dual citizenship, I believe. He's actually Finnish and Canadian, but he decided to be Finnish, which, more power to him, I think. Yeah. I always root for the guys that could go Canadian and, like, actually, you know what, I probably have a better chance of playing in Finland. Brad Lambert might be
literally any other country.
Yes, like, exactly.
Anywhere else. I feel like he has, like, such an interesting, like, path to becoming a Finnish player. And, like, he's, you know, grown up in the Finnish system. Like, he's never played except for, like, from elite prospects, he has, like, one game in Canada in, like, U15. And the rest of his time, like, he has come up through Finnish juniors. And, you know, Finnish citizen. His name's Brad. I just find
very
it.
Very good. It makes me.
Yeah. And, like, it's great to, like, watch, like, broadcasts, particularly in Finnish, because, you know, they're going through all these Finnish players, and then they're like, ah, Brad Lambert. Like, I love it. He's, you know, you mentioned, like, he was initially someone thought of in, like, the very top of the draft, and he's just fallen. He's one of the few guys in this draft who I'm like, yeah, I know your name. Like, I know who you are, because people have talked about you, and now he's someone who could potentially get picked by the Kings, because everyone's going to pass him up. And I know he didn't have, like, the best season, but.
No, he played on a really, really bad team for the most part. Brad Lambert. So we kind of have to talk about two players here, which is Brad Lambert and Joachim Kamel, who he played. Two players' trajectories have been extremely interesting, because Brad Lambert started here and has kind of gone down, and Joachim Kamel has kind of started here and gone up. So it's been a very weird, like, sliding scale, despite the fact that they've been playing on each other's lines. Brad Lambert is high risk, high reward kind of player, is how I would describe him. He's super skilled, super fun to watch. People keep talking about red flags in his game. I don't necessarily think they are those, they're not as big as people think they are. Like, there's a lot of talk about how he doesn't play very well away from the puck. He's got, there are some issues with skating, and this is something I was actually talking to Tony Ferrari about when I did I had a conversation with him about a couple of different prospects last week, and we talked about, you know, things you can teach prospects and things you can't teach prospects. Skating, for Tony anyway, skating is something that is not even an issue, especially like if you're drafting 19th, you know, if you're picking like first overall and you pick a guy that can't skate very well, then that's maybe a bit of an issue. But like 19th, skating is pretty low down on the list of problems, I think. You know, if a guy like Brad Lambert has pretty good hockey IQ, he's elite offensively. Like, I know that his numbers don't really share that. So he had, played for two teams this year. He played for JYP in the Liga, only had 6 points in 24 games, and he has 4 points in 25 games with the Lahti Pelicans. These numbers make people twitchy. But sometimes a guy just isn't scoring, and also, and I want to, you know, I cannot overstate this enough, the Pelicans were very, very bad this year, and it's tough to be good on a bad team. And I think also people look at Brad Lambert and they look at Joachim Kamel, to kind of go back to those two players. Joachim Kamel is a guy that will shoot the puck from literally everywhere. He will shoot from the goal line. He will shoot from the blue line, and like his shooting percentage is crazy high. But that's because he is shooting literally the puck as soon as he crosses into the offensive zone and gets the puck, or he skates in, he's taking a shot, you know, and you're going to score goals like that. I don't know that that's transferable to the NHL in a way that a lot of Brad Lambert's skills are, but because he's putting up points now, a lot of people are like, wow, this guy is so much better than Lambert. And you can kind of, not to be one of those like, man, do you even watch the game, guys? But you can kind of see who watches the games and who watches the highlights.
Yeah.
And I want to reiterate, I am a guy that watches the highlights. I do not have enough hours in the day to pay attention to the Liga, because I already pay attention to the NHL and the AHL and, you know, international hockey, and also the Elite League, which is the UK pro league. You know, I do not have time to pay attention to the Liga and the KHL and the SHL and all of these other leagues. So I don't watch a lot of games, but when I do, you know, I tend to like to pick a player and just focus on him. And if you know, I watched one Pelicans game this season, pretty much all of it. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to pay attention to what Brad Lambert is doing. And just because he's not scoring doesn't mean he's not doing a lot of the right things. And so, yeah, he is a player that, like I say, he was pretty much like, people were like, man, should he go first over Shane Wright? Like literally 4 months ago. And now, like, he's ranked, what did I say? Is he a consolidated ranking is 11th, but I again would not be shocked if he went fourth overall. I also wouldn't be shocked if he fell all the way to the Kings at 19th. Yeah. I wouldn't be shocked if he fell out of the first round, because again, this draft is super, super weird. But in terms of Brad Lambert on the Kings, that could be fun. Mm-hmm. That could be really, really fun. You know, I think put him with Kopitar.
Mm-hmm.
Watch
Let him go. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, put literally whoever you want on the other wing, mm-hmm. and just watch him go. Yeah. Like, Dustin Brown's retired. There's a space there. You know? I know he didn't spend a ton of time on the top line this season, but, you know, you could put him in that hole where Dustin Brown used to be stapled, and just, I just think that would be real fun.
Yeah. He has from what you're saying, he has a kind of similar profile, in core basics. Not like, I'm not saying they're the same player, but kind of similar to what we heard about Arthur Kaliev coming into his draft, of really elite scorer, talented player, maybe not the greatest skater, maybe not the greatest guy without the puck, but, you know, those are things that can be taught. Like, you can't teach someone to be like, at this point in their careers, you're not going to get much smarter in how you play the game. You know, like, you either have it or you don't, in terms of being able to read plays and everything. But a team can teach you, they can work with you to be a better skater. They can work with you on defense. Arthur Kaliev, this came up in another show I did recently that I was like, I'm floored. I did not know this. I did a show with some guys who do like fantasy hockey stuff. And, you know, so they dig really into the analytics. And from the analytics that they're looking at, Arthur Kaliev had one of the like best defensive ratings like on the team and like in the league. And this is a guy who everyone was like, he can't play defense, but you put him on that shutdown fourth line and he was fine there. So you surprise, they taught him how to defense. And so like, it kind of feels very similar to that. Kaliev fell in the draft real far because of those things. You know, there were some concerns, I think, about attitude, but like everyone was like, no, that's BS. That's like, you know, I feel like he had like one person once say something bad about him, and then everyone was like, oh, is he a bad egg? No, he's been fine. No one's had any complaints about him. And Brad Lambert's a guy that the Kings have probably watched a good deal this year, because they have another prospect that they drafted in the 2020 draft. Atu Jamson has played for the Pelicans. They ended up loaning him out to another team, probably because, like you're saying, the Penguins were the Penguins. Now I'm doing it.
Sorry.
They loaned him out to another team, probably because the Pelicans were bad. And this is a kid who has scored, you know, a point per game or more at every other level until he hit, you know, playing in the Liga. And sure, he's 19, but he's also playing on a really bad team. You know, they loaned him to another team in a like the league right down from the Liga. And 8 points in 7 games. He was fine. But so I think the Kings have probably had their eye on Brad Lambert this season just because of, you know, their scouts over there are watching this kid on the same team and watching that team struggle all season to do anything. They do have a cool logo, though. I do like the Pelican logo.
Yes, it is very good. And if only the team was less bad.
Bad, yeah.
And I think the other, like, a couple of, like, follow-up points on the idea of, like, yeah, he was bad on a bad team as well. Like, sometimes players are bad because the coaching is bad, you know? Mm-hmm. And I don't know what the situation is like for the Pelicans in terms of their coaching, but I wouldn't be surprised if you put, like, because he plays in Europe, because he's Finnish, he can come over and be in the AHL. As opposed to before he's 20, as opposed to having to go back to Europe if he's drafted. Yeah. I genuinely would not be surprised to see him on the Reign if the Kings draft him. Put him on the Reign. You know, the pretty good coaching on the Reign. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the way that the season ended was a little bit disappointing, but I feel like the Reign are going to be a very good team again next season. And I think, yeah, you stick Brad Lambert on there, you get him onto a good team, you surround him with, you know, positive influences, good coaching. And yeah, maybe you have the steal of the draft there. Like, that's a guy that I think, no matter where he goes, in 5 years' time, people are going to be like, wow, can you believe Brad Lambert went X overall? Whether that's fifth overall, whether that's 15th overall, whether that's 25th, 35th, I think in 5 years' time, people are going to be like, wow, I can't believe he went there. So, and the other thing I think you've got to remember as well is he's 18 years old.
Yeah.
He's not going to be, like, he's 18 years old. He's playing men's hockey as well. Like, the Liga, I think, is one of the most underrated leagues in Europe. You know, people talk a lot about the Swedish League and about the KHL. I don't think they talk enough about the Liga.
Yeah.
It's a very, very, very hard league to play in. And, yeah, he only had, what, 10 points in 50 games or whatever in total. But he also played basically a full season of men's hockey at the age of 18. And he played a full season of men's hockey last season as well, when he was 17. You know, he was playing men's hockey in La Liga and playing in the under-18s in the same year, you know?
Yeah.
Clearly he's good. He's good enough to play men's hockey at the age of 17. He's not done developing yet, you know? And just to kind of fold all the way back onto what we were talking about just before Lambert as well, I think, and you kind of, like, alluded to, I think there's a thing, and I've noticed this in my kind of the way I've started thinking about prospects as well, or the way I thought about prospects before I got, you know, a little bit more detail. People assume that a first round pick is always going to be a superstar. It's just not how it works.
Yeah.
You know, maybe the top five are superstars, maybe the top 10. It depends on the draft. Obviously, that 2003 draft was, you know, insane.
Ridiculous. Yeah.
Insane. You know, like, you look back and you're like, holy crap, how did all of these guys, like, how did this guy go 25th overall? It's like all the guys that went ahead of him are also potential Hall of Famers, you know? But, like, once you get to 19th, I don't think you should be looking at that pick as a genuine locked-in number one defenseman, top-line winger, number one center, starting goalie, whatever.
Yeah.
Like, when you get to 19th, I think, you want a guy that can play in the top six. You want a guy that can play in the top four of your defensive core, you know? I don't think you should be looking at that 19th overall pick and being like, right, what number one center can we get at 19? You know, like, it happens sometimes, but at that point, I think you have to be a little bit more realistic.
Yeah.
Brad Lambert maybe is not going to be a top line guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's probably going to be probably will be a top six guy on whatever team he lands on, unless he lands on the friggin', like, Avalanche or something. But,
you know, whatever. I mean, two words for you, Trevor Lewis. Mm. First round draft pick, number 17. No one drafted Trevor Lewis thinking, here's our new top line left wing. Like, that is not the player profile they had. That is not who they thought he was going to be. You know, he scored in juniors. You know, he certainly wasn't, you know, just a guy who showed up and did whatever, but, you know, he has talked kind of openly about, like, listen, I learned very quickly, my path to the NHL wasn't trying to be an elite scorer. My path to the NHL was, being the energy guy, the fast guy, like on that kind of grinding bottom six. And Trevor Lewis has carved out a very nice career for himself. And he, you know, he's a first round pick. And I'm sure that someone at the time was like, Trevor Lewis is a bust. But, you know, that's not why they drafted him. They didn't draft him to be their new top line left wing. And I think a lot of people, you know, when you think about prospects and you think about where people get drafted, like, yeah, there is that like lack of patience. And there is that expectation of, you know, I feel like it's followed Adrian Kempe around, even though he was like picked like 29th or something, but still technically a first round pick. And they're like, well, you're not playing like one. He was basically a second round pick. And also it's turned out okay. It's been fine.
I mean, like, so I just pulled up the list of active 19th overall draft picks. There's only 9 of them currently in the NHL. Chris Kreider was drafted 19th overall. Nick Bjugstad. Andrei Vasilevsky was 19th overall. Tony D'Angelo, 19th overall. Josh Norris, Yevgeny Svechnikov, Kiefer Bellows, Braden Schneider, and Lassie Thompson are all 19th overall picks. So, you know, yeah. I think that gives you a really good look at when you get to that point in the draft, it really is kind of, you've got to pick for positional. And again, this is kind of going way back to what we talked about at the beginning. Do you pick the 19th best player in the draft, or do you pick the guy that you need? You know, because sometimes you get a Chris Kreider, and sometimes, you know, no disrespect to Lassie Thompson, who I'm sure is great, but sometimes you get that guy.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, you know, if the worst that they get is, I know Evgeny Svechnikov has been like kind of a bubble guy of, hasn't really carved out, but like, if that's the worst, you need those guys. Teams need players.
Yeah. If you get a Josh Norris.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think you'd be like, you should be happy with that at 19. You know, they're not all going to be, you know, 50 goal scorers or maybe one of the best goalies in the world, depending on who you ask, you know?
Yeah.
At that point, you just got to be like, right.
I need
19th overall is what it is.
Yeah.
Let's pick the guy that we need, which is why, you know, again, we'll get back to this in a second. The Kings have a need. They have a specific thing that should be going to the draft, and it is basically not defense and not center. So we're stuck with. The Kings are drafting a winger, you know? And so there's probably going to be some players that get left on the board after the Kings draft that are better than the player that they draft. But it's all about need. It's all about what position the Kings need. And if that means that they need to take Brad Lambert instead of, like, God, I don't know.
Shane Wright falls to 19th. No, you take Shane Wright.
If Shane Wright falls to 19th, 18 teams fold.
Yeah,
But, like, if you look at, let's see, who, for example, Kevin Korchinski, currently ranked 18th overall on the drafting thing that I'm looking at. If you have a choice between Brad Lambert and Korchinski, like, Korchinski might be a better player, you take Brad Lambert, because the Kings do not need another offensive defenseman.
Yeah.
You have so many.
Yeah, so many. So many. And yet... And they're all so young. The Kings are missing that like middle group of like, you're not fresh out of the AHL, but their middle group was Matt Roy and Sean Walker, both of whom were hurt. But we don't need more of them. We can deal with that later. That's it for today. Thanks so much for listening. We've got lots of cool stuff coming at you next week, including, drumroll please, the announcement of the 2022 second annual Locked On Los Angeles Kings Team Awards, whatever we're going to call it. You still have time to vote. I haven't closed the ballot yet. Go to bit.ly/Kings2022awards. Put in your votes. Tell me who your MVP was, who your favorite defenseman was, who had the best hair, the best dog. Leave your votes for me, and we'll talk about them on future episodes of the show. So thank you so much for listening. Make sure you're subscribed if you haven't already. Tell your friends, tell your family, tell your pets all about the show, and make sure you come back next week for more Kings news here on Locked On Los Angeles Kings, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.